We're thankful for the opportunity to be with you once again this year, and thank you for the invitation to come and bring the word of the Lord. We're thankful for your hospitality, your kindness shown to us, all that the pastor and church has done to see to our needs. We give you thanks. We receive this as acts of kindness and pray God will richly bless each and every one for their efforts and their labor and their part in having us be with you. I have shaken hands with a few people during the course of the last 2 days of services. And I hadn't shaken anybody's hand for many, many, many months. And it is good. It's been a blessing to once again shake a few hands. Amen. We're living in the day and time where we can't do this and we can't do that, and we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. And I've told the church a few times of late, that may be okay for a while, but sooner or later this stuff's got to end.
Right. Amen.
There's certain things we're commanded to do, certain things that we're shown by example to do in Scripture, and we got to get back. We got to reclaim. And I look forward to that day. I'm thankful to be able to be in this conference. Last time I was able to be in a conference of any form was back in Flat Rock. And their services back March, I think it was. It's been a long year. This has been good. This has been a blessing. We do want to be careful to extend greetings to everyone, particularly pastor and church here at Faith from Sister Ilva Bourne. She told me to make sure I said hello to everybody and sent her greetings, and we passed that along to you. She has her difficulties and her challenges and her issues with pain, but she keeps on keeping on. And she's in services every time the doors are opened, and we thank the Lord for her. Please pass along that set of greetings to you. I want to ask you to take your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Lord laid this message upon our heart some time ago, and honestly, we have tried to study, and we have tried to go in other directions, and we've tried to get away from this subject, and the Lord kept stopping us, closing the doors, and telling us to preach this, and to preach what He's given us. So I've learned over the last 41 plus years, that's the best thing to do. Do what the Lord tells you to do, and He'll be with us. We, in keeping with the theme of the conference, I guess would entitle this message that we see Jesus in the storm of hate. We see Jesus in the storm of hate. Hate's a very strong word, but the world hates Jesus Christ. The world hates the people of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world hates the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't say it's unlike any other time the world has ever known, because I haven't lived that long. But I can say over 61 years of life, I've never seen a time in the course of my life when the world has been so filled with hate. And it is directed, I believe, at Jesus Christ. And it is directed at the people of Christ. Those who call themselves Christians are probably the most hated people on the face of this earth. Over the last 2,000 years of Christian history, since Christ walked upon this earth, we've not made any progress in endearing ourselves to the world. It has actually gone the other direction. Christians are hated more than they've ever been hated before. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus Christ is instructing his people, instructing his disciples, basically not to be surprised about this thing called hate. They hated me first. Don't be surprised when they hate you. They're going to hate you because they hate me. They're going to hate you because it's in my name that they hate you. I think there's around 8 times in the text that we want to read today that we find this word hate in some form. We'll begin with verse number 18 and read to the end of this chapter. John chapter 15, verse number 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So don't be surprised if the world hates you. This is Jesus Christ himself instructing us not to be surprised by hate. And he instructs us, and he instructed the disciples here, not to be surprised by hate because he had felt the hatred of the world. The world hated him. The world cried out for his crucifixion. Who's guilty for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ? Now, separate and apart from the idea and the knowledge that God sent his Son to die for us, humanly speaking, we could say the Jews. Humanly speaking, we could say the Romans. But ultimately, it's because the whole world hated him. The Jews hated him and despised him and rejected him and said, "We'll not have this man to rule over us." The Romans hated Jesus Christ. And the world, since the time of Christ, has had a hatred for Jesus Christ. This man who did miracles, this man who fed the hungry, this man who raised the dead, this man who did more acts of kindness than anybody has ever done or possibly could do, this is the one they hated. They hated Jesus Christ. The world hates Jesus Christ today. We have people sitting in this auditorium, in this congregation, in this assembly place, who, if the truth could be known, hate Jesus Christ. Hate the Bible version of Jesus Christ. Reject the true Christ for maybe their own version of Jesus Christ. I preached a series of messages, I think it ended up being at home a couple months ago, on this subject. Why was it they hated Jesus Christ? What was it that they hated about Jesus Christ? Could you make a list? Is there anything that comes to your mind? Well, the Bible gives us very plain understanding of why they hated Jesus Christ. They hated Jesus Christ, first of all, because he came preaching the doctrine of sin, and he came to sinners, and he came seeking to save the lost. They hated that. They didn't want to be told that they were sinful. They didn't want to be told that they had a sin problem. But Jesus Christ didn't come to call the righteous. Jesus Christ didn't say, come to save the good. He came seeking the lost. The religious and the self-righteous hated him. Because he came preaching to the lost, seeking the salvation of the lost. You find it right here in our text in verse number 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. If I had not come, their sin had not been exposed. He's not saying they would not have been guilty of sin. He's not saying they would not have committed sin. But by his coming, he exposed their sin. He revealed their sinfulness. He exposed their guilt. They hated him for that. Back in John chapter 7, verse 7. John 7, 7. Jesus speaking says, the world cannot hate you. You think the world hated Jesus? What does Jesus say next? But me it hateth. The world hates Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is revealing that to us, teaching us that. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Why? Because I testify of it, and the works thereof, that the works thereof are evil. The world hates me because I bring a testimony against the world. I testify concerning its evil deeds. When he called Levi, when he went and called Matthew to say, and said, come and follow me, Matthew had Jesus in his home. You know the passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 5. And Jesus was seen hanging around with a bunch of sinful people. And the religious people didn't like it. The religious crowd didn't like it. The self-righteous crowd didn't like it. They wanted to know, why was Jesus hanging around with sinners? And he basically said, that's because that's who I've come to reach. That's because that's who I've come to save. I haven't come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance. And they hated that. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews and the religious and the spiritual of the day didn't like that Jesus came to sinners. He came to save sinners, came to expose and to reveal sin. But that's why he came, and that's why they hated him. In the story of the Lord's calling of Zacchaeus, similar passage of Scripture, Jesus was seen hanging around with the likes of Zacchaeus. The religious folks didn't like it. Why is he hanging around? Why is he having all this to do with sinners? It's because that's who he came to save. That's who he came to speak to. That's who he came to reach. He didn't come to save a single righteous person, because there were none, and there are none.
Amen.
He didn't come to reach the godly, religious, moral person, because there are none. He came to reach sinners. He came to preach to sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. And the world hated him for that. He exposed their guilt, their wretchedness, their self-righteousness. But another thing that they hated about Jesus Christ, and it's seen in our text of John 15, he said in verse 1, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In his dialogue here in discussion, he speaks with the voice of command. He speaks of his calling his people from the world, out from the world. And throughout his ministry, he not only came preaching and teaching about sin, calling sinners to repentance, but he came preaching and teaching he is the Savior. He is the only Savior. All through the ministry of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Verse 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no one comes unto the Father but by me. We believe, or we should believe, I should say, lest there's some here who don't, in the sufficiency and the exclusivity of Christ. Christ is sufficient. Christ is all that is needed. Christ did it all. He's the only Savior. He's the only way to be saved. He's the only way to be acceptable with God. He's the only way to be brought into God's family is by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, which we quote and we quote and we quote, makes it very plain. Whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not perish. But you must believe in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came preaching and presenting himself as the Savior, as the vine, as the only way. And the world didn't like the message about their sin. And they, second of all, didn't like the message about he was the one they had to believe in. There was nothing they could do to save themselves. But they hated Jesus. We see throughout this text Jesus Christ presenting himself as the Lord. Verse 20. He's the Lord. He's speaking about Christians, disciples, His disciples, us. We're the servants spoken of. We're the slaves. Jesus Christ came preaching and teaching and exposing and revealing and calling sinners to repentance. He came preaching and teaching, revealing Himself to be the only Savior, the only means of salvation. And He came preaching and teaching and revealing that He had come to call men to follow Him. And they hated Him for it. Three things there. We're trying to move hastily along because of time. But Jesus says, don't be surprised if the world hates you because it hated me first. The world hated and rejected Jesus Christ and still hates and rejects Jesus Christ today. And they hate Him because He came to save sinners. Man doesn't like being told he's a sinner or has a sin problem. He came to be the Savior, the only Savior that would ever be provided for man. Man doesn't like that narrowness, that singleness. They don't like the exclusivity of Christ. They want to have something to do with their salvation. They want to have something that they are supposed to do. They don't like this exclusivity of Jesus Christ. And they don't like this idea of becoming a follower. Scribes and the Pharisees, the religious folks of Christ's day, didn't like Him calling others to be His disciple. Follow me. That's why He came. He's Lord, supreme in authority, controller and master. We're the servants, we're the slaves, we're bought with a price. And He came to reach sinners, and He came to preach sinners need to repent. He came to reveal Himself as the only Savior. He came to call men to discipleship. The world hates all three of those things. They don't like the idea that they're a sinner. They want to believe it's not that bad. There's a little bit of good down within them. Just needs a little bit of fanning, a little improvement. They don't want to believe that Jesus is the only way in order to be saved. And they don't want to get too extreme about having to become a follower of Jesus Christ. That's why the world hated Him. He came preaching, calling sinners to repentance. He came presenting Himself as the only way, the only truth, the only life, the only way life can be obtained. He came calling saved to become disciples, to follow Him, to be a disciple, to be a learner. Let Him be the master, the instructor. Philippian jailer asked the question of Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? The answer was, believe on the Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. If man doesn't have a problem with Jesus, man doesn't have a problem with His being the Savior, they will have a problem with His Lordship. Fact that He's Lord, but He is Lord. So they hated Christ because He came preaching and teaching and extending the message to sinners. He came preaching salvation through Him and none other. And He came calling people to discipleship, to become His servants. And He tells us in this text of John 15 that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. So when they hate you, don't be surprised that they hate you because they hated me first. So if you're a true Christian, the world's going to hate you. Don't be surprised by that. Why be surprised if you're a Christian if the world hates you if they hated our Lord and Savior first? And they hated Him. And they hate Christians. Are you a true Christian? I call everybody here today to make your calling election sure. Are you saved? Are you a real Christian? What does the world think about you? Does the world hate you like it hated Jesus Christ? Are you the enemy of the world or are you a friend of the world? Are you a friend of the Lord or are you an enemy of the Lord? In light of these three thoughts about Christ and why they hated Him, I would answer the question, what is a Christian, with those same three points. A Christian, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian. Anybody here who claims to be a Christian, you're a Christian if you have seen yourself by the grace of God and the effectual working of the Spirit of God. If you have seen yourself as a sinner, vile and undone, dead in your trespasses and sins, standing before God with nothing to offer and nothing you can do, reviled by your sins, you're a Christian. If you have seen yourself a sinner and seen Jesus Christ dying for your sins, and you know Jesus Christ died for your sins and saving your soul, you're a Christian if you know He's called you to discipleship. You're not a Christian if you just have walking down a church aisle to claim. You're not a Christian if all you have is a little speech the preacher gave you at the altar. If that's all you've got, you're not a Christian. If you think you're a good, moral, upstanding person, if you think you were born in the United States of America, you're a Christian. If you think you're a Christian because you go to church, you're wrong. Salvation is a real experience in which one sees their sin, sees Jesus Christ having died for their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the saving of their soul, and they become a disciple. Now, are you a Christian? We see why they hated Christ. And He tells us, don't be surprised when they hate you. They hated me, they're going to hate you. They hated Jesus Christ for those three reasons. And if you're a true Christian, you've truly seen yourself a sinner, come to the end of yourself and seen Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins, buried and risen again. And He's called you to be a disciple. Be a follower of Him. You're a real Christian. I don't proclaim that. I don't put that stamp upon you. That's what the Word of God proclaims. 1 John 3, verse 13, marvel not. Simple little verse. Marvel not. Don't be amazed. Don't be surprised. Marvel not if the world hates you. They hated Jesus Christ. If you're a true Christian, you've seen yourself a sinner, received Jesus Christ as your Savior, heard the call of Him upon your life to follow Him. Marvel not when the world hates you. They're going to hate you. And that's not going to improve in this life. Verse number 19 of our text. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You're not of this world. You don't belong to this world. He's delivered you. He's redeemed you. He's called you out of this world. Therefore the world hates you. Marvel not that the world hates you. World hates you because you're not of the world. See, there's something wrong with somebody who claims to be a Christian who loves the world and the world loves them and they get along fine with the world. Something inconsistent there with Scripture. They hated Jesus and they're going to hate all true Christians. I want to ask you a question. Does the world hate true Baptist churches? What's the world think about Faith Baptist Church, Traverse City, Michigan? What's the world's real opinion of Faith Baptist Church, Wauseon, Ohio? What's the world's true opinion? Well, what's the message of our churches? We want to make your life full and happy and satisfying, and we want you to live your best life now. Is the message of our churches a psychological message, a social gospel? No. What's the message of a Baptist church? The message of the Baptist church is all have sinned without exception. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Understand the whole verse. All, everyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, all are sinners. Not only by nature, but by practice. Okay? All are sinners. But it goes on to say, all come short. All fall short of the perfection, the glory of Jesus Christ. Come short of the glory of God. That's the message of a Baptist church. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. See, that's the message of our Baptist churches. All are sinners. No exceptions. There's nobody here who doesn't need to be saved because everybody here is lost if they've not yet been saved. Everybody has come into this world in that condition. But it's our message as Baptist churches, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The message of the church is to go out and preach. All are sinners. All need a Savior. Jesus is the Savior.
Amen.
And the Great Commission has that third part, don't miss, teaching them to observe, make disciples out of them. All are sinners and need a Savior. We're to preach that message, and we're to preach Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing, without apology.
Amen.
And we're to call men who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be disciples. To live for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. So how are they going to feel about our churches? Well, they hated Jesus. They're going to hate, and they hate all true Christians. And they hate, and they're going to hate, and they're always going to hate the Lord's true New Testament Baptist churches. They may not hate the church down the road. They may not hate the church around the corner from you. But if you're one of the Lord's true churches and you have the true message of why they hated Christ and why they hate Christians, ultimately they're going to hate our kind of church, the Lord's church. I'm often reminded, comes to my mind so often, when I speak about Christianity, true Christianity, and I speak about the Lord's church, I'm taken to that passage in the book of the book of Acts, speaking of the church at Antioch. In the context of the church, the local assembly at Antioch, what were they called there?
Amen.
Christians. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Because the message of the Lord's church is all have sinned and all are sinners and all need a Savior. Jesus Christ is the only Savior God has provided. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Become a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. The church there in Antioch were the first people ever called Christians. Our current society, our current culture, our current nation, yes, the United States of America, hates Jesus Christ. They hate him. This may come as a shock to some of you, but we are not a Christian nation. We gave up that title a long time ago. Not only are we not a Christian nation, a Christless nation, but I believe all the signs indicate that we are also a godless nation. We've not only forsaken the Lord Jesus Christ and do not hold him high in esteem in our society, but like those in Romans chapter 1, we rejected God. We will not have God rule over us. We don't like God. We are a humanistic nation. A nation that worships man, worships self. He thinks man can improve himself. Man can save himself. No need for God, no need for a Savior in the name of Jesus Christ. So we're living in a day and time where the storm of hate is raging. And it's been pointed out a couple times, seems like, if I recall right. They don't have a problem with anybody but Christians. The media and society portrays Christians as white supremacists, hate mongers, homophobic, racist, ignorant, idiots. And they try to encourage the hatred for Christians because of those things. None of those things define a true Christian. A true Christian is none of those things. True Christian has seen themselves a sinner, seen Jesus Christ dying for their sins plus nothing minus nothing, and is a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ. But the hate is zeroed in on Christians. We're living in a day and time where I don't think we fully grasp. I think longer we go through this time of pandemic and the world, the year we're going through, the more I think the average Christian, the average Baptist, believes there's a normal out there. Believes this is all going to get over one of these days and we're going to return to normal. I'm here to tell you, it's never going to be normal again. There's something going to happen, and I don't want to get political, but there's something going to happen come November. I don't know exactly what it is, but I think it's going to alter the United States of America forever. I look at the different directions we can go and all the things. I see many situations all coming to a head November the 3rd. It is quite possible that the death of democracy will occur come November. We have rioting and destruction. The average American thinks that's all gone away because the news media doesn't cover it, doesn't give it the emphasis it did for a while. We think all those things have passed, but there are cities that are still on fire. There are places in this country where people are rioting all the time. And there's hatred. And if you'll listen, underneath all of this, I think there's a hatred for Christ.
Amen.
There's a hatred for Christianity, true Christians. There's a hatred for our kind of churches. And I think we're going to wake up come November and find things are never going to be the same again. And whatever happens, it's just going to amp things up a little bit more, this hatred the world has for Christians. If you think there's ever a time it's going to get better, if you think there's ever a time when the world's going to love you, embrace you, you're living in a daydream. I did some searches, and every time I do a search, it comes out pretty much with the same numbers, that the world's population is said to be somewhere around 34% Christians. Around the world, the world's population is said to be somewhere around 34% Christian. But then I kept looking at that, and after they tell you that the world's population is 34% Christians, they'll tell you that around 17% of that is Catholicism. They're not Christians at all. A big chunk of those are Protestants, and another chunk of those are other groups. And
right.
See, this isn't a Christian nation. This isn't a Christian world in which we're living. Christians have always been the smallest of minorities and the hated of all people.
Right.
I think if the truth be known, true Christians probably are a single-digit percentage of the world's population. We're not in the minority, folks. Never have been, and we're less in the minority now than we ever have been. There's the storm of hatred. Jesus Christ said, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because you're not of the world. He didn't call us to be like the world, to be of the world. He called us out from the world. So he called us to be hated, seems like to me, can be said. So don't be surprised when the world hates you. Always remember it hated me first. And whatever comes in November, whatever comes next year, I believe with all my heart, like I've never believed before, Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
He's coming again. And I have more than I've ever felt like in my lifetime. I have felt like it's probably going to be in my lifetime. I believe it's that near. It's that near. I talked to a couple during the course of the conference, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. He's going to rapture his people out of here. Praise God, he's going to get us out of here. He always gets his people out of the way before he really pours out his wrath. Rapture is going to take place one day. Jesus Christ is going to take his people out of here. And I believe, don't apologize for believing, that starts the tribulation period.
Right.
And I've told our church a few times over the last several months, you have the coming of Jesus Christ, and you have the beginning of the tribulation period, and you have a lot of things that are going to go on during the tribulation period. As far as I can understand Scripture, things have to be set up. A lot of things have to be set up prior to the rapture that we're going to see in the tribulation period. And I think we're living in a day and time where things are being set up. You know, get carried away. But you know, when the Antichrist comes, he's most likely going to be around 30-something years old. He's going to be pretty much the same age Jesus Christ was, the Antichrist. And whoever the Antichrist is, and I'm not going to even, I don't speculate in any way about who that might be. But if the Antichrist is going to be made known during the tribulation period, he's got to be an adult man living somewhere in the world. He's got to be here. Does it not make sense? He's got to be here sometime before the rapture. So he's probably somewhere already in the world to be risen up at the appointed time for the world to look for salvation and help from. Are you ready? Got off on a little bit of a tangent there. Forgive me. But see Jesus. I don't think this hatred is going to subside. I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to crank up more and more.
Amen.
I heard many stories over the last month of this pandemic with... I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Go ahead.
All these claims of racism and the Black Lives Matter movement, and that's one of the most ungodly organizations with one of the most ungodly mission statements you're ever going to come across. But I've heard it said that the white Jesus has got to go. Well, there's no such thing as a white Jesus. Jesus' skin is most likely a brown shade. He's a Jew. And anybody who understands anything, what they're saying is, what we believe, our version of Jesus Christ, is not acceptable. He's got to go away. And in the months that lay before us, I believe he's going to go away. Because true Christianity is hated. It's not going to get better. As you take all the messages that have been preached in the course of this conference, I think all of them can be put in a blender in one main point. It comes out of all of them. Appreciate every one of them. Agree with every one of them. But collectively, the one message that comes out of this conference is keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Jesus. In this storm of hate, remember, they're going to hate you. But let them hate you because of your message being the same as Christ's. Not because we're just dummies and stupid and ignorant people. Don't be surprised the world hates you. Remember, they hated Christ first. And as you go further and further and deeper, and like Brother Randy just said a little while ago, every one of these conferences, you wonder if it'll be the last. Been a long time since one of these conferences were held, so it's possible, isn't it? Could be the last one. As we go farther and farther into this storm of hate, don't be discouraged when they hate you. Remember, they hated him first. And one day he's coming again. I thought about so many things. And you wish I'd quit thinking, I'm sure. I think it was when Brother Luke was preaching. I think he mentioned Peter there. Peter, he saw the wind boisterous. He saw the wind boisterous. Can you see wind? He couldn't see wind. What he saw was the effects of the wind. When he had his eyes upon the effects of the storm around him, he began to sink. But when he got his eyes and kept his eyes on Jesus, the sinking stopped. As we go deeper and deeper into this storm of hate, remember they hated him first, they still hate him. They're going to hate him until he makes all things new and all things right. Keep your eyes on him. This pandemic, everything about this pandemic and all that's going on in our world culturally and politically, are a lot of our being worked up about things we can't see. But we can see the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He'll get us through this. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Let's stand.